Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year. It's not January yet, but I think most of you, when you came in, you recognized that there's a new color on our altar. It's a new season. It's the first season of the church year. It's Advent. And we are blessed, I think, as a liturgical church, as Lutherans, because we do get to celebrate for a season this special event, the anticipation, right, of Christmas. Christmas isn't here yet. We remember the Old Testament people who went before us, who were looking forward to the Messiah. Christmas is a time of joy and celebration. But we also need to remember, as people called to love our neighbors, that it is not always a season of joy and celebration for everyone. Expectations of trying to live up to the happy memories of Christmas past, when life's circumstances have changed, can overshadow the good news of great joy that we proclaim every year. The promise of healing, hope, and life that Jesus offers. There is a sad irony about this season. On the one hand, the birth of our Savior marks the beginning of a new church year and the day the light of the world came down from heaven and dwelt among us, revealing God's love and saving us from sin and the darkness of evil. On the other hand, at a time when the nights are growing longer and colder, we feel this pressure, this expectation that we or the person next to us should not feel sadness or frustration or loneliness. After all, Jesus is here, or Jesus is coming, at least. Yet, this assumption fails to recognize that this light has come down from heaven to shine in the darkness, a darkness that still exists in this world and will until the King of unsurpassing light returns. Until then, we have the promise from John's gospel that this light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it, because it can't. The light is far too powerful. With a word, "Let there be light," the darkness can only run and hide in the shadows for a time, until it is overcome, defeated forever. The inexpressible beauty of Advent and Christmas is found in the opportunity each of us is given to start again, to ponder anew what Jesus' birth means for me and for you, to start afresh a new year with new mercies, a gift from our Savior received in faith, a new perspective, and a chance to make new choices, to walk in the light as He is in the light, or to continue to dwell in the shadows for a time. C.S. Lewis, I think most of you know who he is, that well-known Christian author and theologian, describes this spiritual truth so vividly in an essay titled "Meditation in a Tool Shed," which first appeared in a British newspaper in 1945 as the world was coming out of the darkness of World War II. If you haven't read it, I strongly encourage you to read it this week. Just Google Toolshed and C.S. Lewis, you'll find it. I think it's a great preparation for this season of light that we call Christmas. In his essay, Lewis writes about an experience that he had one day standing in a dark tool shed. He writes this: "The sun was shining outside, and through the crack at the top of the door there came a sunbeam. From where I stood, that beam of light with the specks of dust floating in it was the most striking thing in the place. Everything else was almost pitch black. I was seeing the beam, not seeing things by it. Then I moved into the light, so that the beam fell on my eyes. Instantly, the whole previous picture vanished. I saw no tool shed, and above all, no beam. Instead, I saw, framed in the irregular cranny at the top of the door, green leaves moving on the branches of a tree outside. And beyond that, 90-odd million miles away, the sun." You see, there's a difference between standing in a dark tool shed looking at the light and standing in the light. As I reflected on this image, I can't help but think of the dark shed as a representation of the darkness of this world, and the beam of light being the light of Christ that shines in it. Lewis's opening thesis is this. Again, he writes, "Looking along the beam of light that is in it and looking at the beam are two very different experiences." The Bible tells us that there is a light in this world that shines in the darkness. Not just in the Gospel of John either. Light is all over in God's Word. Notice that each of the three scriptures today are about light. As we look at them again, I want you to notice three special things about the light of Jesus. And Molly's going to pull up a slide for us here that'll serve as our outline today. The light of Jesus is a healing light, a hopeful light, and the light of life. The Apostle Paul, who was blinded by the light of God on the road to Damascus in Acts, exhorts the church in Rome in our reading today with these words from verse 12. "The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." I envision C.S. Lewis moving in the dark tool shed from the darkness into that sunbeam. Paul is contrasting the works of our old Adam against the work of the Holy Spirit, who is leading us to walk in the light of Christ, the light that shines in the darkness of this world. Every day we are given a choice how we will walk, in the darkness of sin or in the light of Christ. Not to say that we will never sin. Only hypocrites and Pharisees would think such a thing. They are the ones who worry more about the outside of the cup, outward appearances, than they are what's in the heart, which only God can see. So they stand outside the light and judge those who are seeking it. especially judging those who are searching in a way that does not fit their expectations or their traditions. It's easier to judge than it is to love, and so Jesus calls us to love both God and neighbor as we all seek the light in this darkened world. And when we step into the light and don't just stand outside it, when we truly love others as God has loved us in Christ, then the light of Christ becomes a healing light. That's the first point of our message today. When we walk together in the light of faith, confident of God's love for us in Christ, those who are hurting and those who are struggling to learn how to show loving care to those who are hurting can come together in trust. Trust that our great healer is here in this place among us. And the church can be a safe place where people can be vulnerable with each other. I think that's what this Blue Christmas is all about. I think it's easier to, oftentimes for us to give care than it is to recognize our own need for care. And without those two components, we miss opportunities to see God at work among us as we all seek together to walk in the light. The church is and should always be a place where people are willing to sacrifice and to show grace to each other, all because we know and trust that the light of Christ is a healing light. This light of our Savior is also a hopeful light, our second point. That great chapter of hope in the Bible, Romans chapter 8, tells us this. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? He's already attained it, right? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. As I get older, my eyes get weaker. Now, if I want to read a medicine bottle or something that comes in the mail, I've got to step into the light, literally, right? I either go and stand under a light in our house, or if it's really small, I've got to go over to a window where there's some really bright light. And then if I still can't read it, I hand it to my kids and say, hey, read this. Either way, though, I know that I need light to even have a hope of understanding what the message is. And it's the same with Jesus. In order to understand the message that God is giving us, we need the light of Christ. Before God's love came down from heaven in human form, the people of the Old Testament didn't have God's full saving message. It hadn't been fully revealed yet, so they lived by the words of the prophets, like the words from Isaiah today. God gave Isaiah a vision of hope that in the latter days all the nations shall flow to the mountain of the Lord, where there will be peace, when swords and spears will be turned into instruments of the harvest to feed everyone, when the house of Jacob will walk in the light of the Lord. Until the light would come into the world, the people could only walk in the hope of the word of God's promise. But now, Isaiah writes in chapter 9, we'll hear this later this season, I'm sure, or at least around Christmas, right? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. These words from Isaiah have been fulfilled, just as God promised. Now the world can know this light. Now all who receive this word from the beginning, as we read in John, who believe in his name, have been given the right to become children of God. And as God's children, we grow in this light to recognize and confess that Jesus is the full message from God and the true messenger who has fulfilled all the hopes of the Old Testament and has become the hope of all creation for all time until he returns in full light, and hope and faith will become sight. Until then, no matter what we are facing, no matter how dark the night, we know this hopeful light that shines in the darkness, and we have the eternal hope that transcends everything in this life. Which brings us to our final point. The light of Jesus is the light of life. John tells us in the gospel that in this light that is eternal and the creating word of God, there is life. This life is the light of men. Not only does God give life to all creatures in this world, including men, but by the divine and almighty power of this word made flesh, God offers eternal life to those made in the image shared by the Father and the Son of God, who was born of flesh and blood like we were. Yet this is where the similarity ends, because Jesus was conceived not by man, but by the Holy Spirit. He suffered with us, but did so by his own choice, not because of his sin. He was crucified, died, and was buried, but he suffered death as a perfectly innocent man. The weight and the wages of darkness and sin were ours to bear until he took them away at the cross. And from the darkness of the tomb, a light now shines on the tomb of everyone who has seen the light and called him Lord and Savior. This light is for you. And if you are baptized, and if you have this light living in you, then God has given you the capacity to walk in this light. Now our Creator has given us to reflect this light out into the world. It is not our own light. It is simply a reflection of the light. We are given to bear witness to the light of the world. We don't hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, right? Because we know that this light that we bear is a healing light that brings comfort even in the darkest of times. Because we know that this light we bear is a hopeful light that has carried us and all God's people through this world from generation to generation. And because we know that this light that we bear together is the light of life that even transcends the darkest of enemies, death and the devil, to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. This sure promise from God himself is for all who simply step out of the darkness of the tool shed of this world and walk in his marvelous light. So as we enter again this beautiful season, there is no more pressure or expectation. The light of the world is already here. So brothers and sisters in Christ, let us walk in the light as he is in the light. If we do this, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, do you remember what God's word in 1 John chapter 1 promises? God promises, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, will cleanse us from all sin. This is why he came, and this is why he comes. May the light of the Christ child lighten your path this year as we walk together in the light. And now may the peace, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.